and welcome. You're listening to Heart of Mind Radio for the New Millennium. I'm Catherine Davis, and this is the Progressive Radio Network, PRN.FM.
The face of beauty appears in every step, every sunrise, every ray of sunlight that kisses my skin. In every step, every sunrise, every ray of sunlight that kisses my skin.
Well, here we are, and it is now spring. So for those of you who enjoyed that moment on the 20th of March when we were celebrating the onset and the beginning of spring, the supermoon solstice, I want to offer you blessings of regeneration and planting to be fulfilled within your life in the coming year.
A dancer's grace, the silence at night, the falling snow.
Concerned about humanity. Mm-hmm. I'm very concerned about the fact that because there's so much chaos going on, so much change, that the real essence of what is being asked of us as the human species of life on this planet, we're missing it, truly missing it. And, you know, we don't have the timeline for us to catch up later because the life force is shifting tremendously. Diminution of immune systems because of the increased level of anxiety. Toxins are being exposed to us because of the rapid shifting of the earth. They want to call it climate change. It's really polar shift.
Our guest today is Dr. Jewel Pulchram, born in Detroit, Michigan, where she established her roots as a mother and physician, initially working at Henry Ford Hospital, performing surgery and practicing obstetrics and gynecology. She later became a pioneer in holistic medicine with a strong emphasis on healing through mental and spiritual wellness. Dr. Jewel became a solo practitioner in 1982, which led her to form her first independent medical practice, the Perfect Health Institute, in 1987. Passionate about educating people on their innate ability to heal themselves, she employed her patients with the knowledge and tools to restore and maintain perfect health using natural and non-invasive techniques. With the philosophy that the human body is a whole entity in which the anatomical structures, physical functions, and emotional states are interdependent and reciprocal in relationship, she has assisted thousands in healing. As her techniques evolved, her business followed suit. Dr. Jewel has traveled the world procuring knowledge and honing her skills as a natural healer. Considering her accomplishments and expertise, Prime Minister Nelson Mandela and wife Winnie personally selected Dr. Jewel as their consulting physician during their 1990 visit to the United States. Dr. Jewel has received numerous accolades for her work in the vanguard of holistic medicine, which include but are not limited to being named as one of the Detroit's leading physicians by the Detroit News and being commemorated by Detroit's Historical Museum, being cited as one of the outstanding young women of America, and being honored by the Coalition of 100 Black Men. As a retired physician with over 35 years of experience and a specialist in women's health and holistic wellness, her skill, knowledge, and wisdom is in high demand as she is consistently requested for lectures across the United States as well as Canada and Europe. In 2009, Dr. Jewel created the Jewel Network, J-E-W-E-L, with a mission to broadcast the sciences of life and living in a clear and accurate format. She also educates on the importance of nurturing the brain to support the health of the body through Dr. Jewel's balancing program, which uses ancient sacred geometry to increase brain power and neuron activity through a focusing exercise, ultimately balancing the left and right hemispheres of the brain, empowering participants to create the life they desire. Dr. Jewel believes that the body is the barometer for addressing one's ability to live in harmony with his or her environment, and that nothing in our world has the power to make us weak, sad, or diseased if we adopt the proper attitude, diet, and commitment to wellness. Each of us can live in infinite perfection. Healing must be self-initiated and self-achieved. And she says, "My purpose is to see the perfection of every person's present state of health. I support them in feeling joyful and energized in mind, body, and spirit."
Most people don't recognize the North and the South Pole have literally shifted. The direction of the sun as we're getting sunlight has shifted. And so therefore, what has been brought to our attention as climate change is the end result of the North and South Pole totally taking a different position on planet Earth. Of course, everything is going to change. Of course, everything's going to be different. The weather is going to be unique. The plants are going to shift. Some will be able to live. Others will die. New hybrids naturally will be induced because of the drastic change, et cetera. The new exposure. We don't know what it's like to have to live with, you know, thousands of pounds of volcano flume debris. Okay, that's something that we haven't had to deal with. Now, thousands of pounds of this is everywhere, all throughout California. What does that do to our water? How does that change the air? These are all the things that the body has to adjust to, and the body was created to do so when it is not auto-poisoned with our own toxins made from our thinking. So anytime a person walks around now and says they're in stress, they're saying that I am sustaining elevated adrenaline levels. I'm overstimulating my survival area of the brain, my adrenal glands on my top of my kidneys, and the level of adrenaline that is in my bloodstream has risen to a toxic level. So what happens with that? Full perfusion of the brain is diminished. Only the survival circuits, high blood pressure, pressure goes up. Immune function goes down. So with all of these new chemicals that are in the air from just the changing of the environment itself, we're not empowered to handle that because the adrenaline levels from your perception of change, seen as fear, seen as inadequacy, seen as the unknown, what do? Keeps the immune system from rising to the occasion. See, the human body is absolute. It's awesome. And it can adapt as long as the individual is able to give it permission to do so. And to do that is to remain at peace and to feel secure that change is in your behalf. It is beneficial to you, not a deficit. And so this is the real issue here. The human is not prepared in consciousness for change. So it's dreaded. It's feared. We immediately feel threatened that our basic staples, food, clothing, shelter, etc., are going to be diminished. That is not what change is about. And planet Earth is changing to do what? To become more abundant, to be able to accommodate new life forms, to allow those life forms that perhaps we didn't even know about to now begin to flourish. It is a cycle. It's a cycle that's been recorded. Every 5.9 to 6.2 thousand years, this happens. But the information has been repressed. So this is what we're going to be talking about. How are you going to handle this? Now, there's something that you may find very interesting. It's known as the condition of obscurantism. And I want to bring this to your attention. Look it up. Let's do this. Let's be scholarly. This is important. This is about our life. OBSCURANTISM, obscurantism. It is literally a consciousness that is in opposition to the increase and spread of knowledge. This is what we're experiencing now, obscurantism. And we know now that our institutions have been very much consciously perpetuating this state of awareness. Every institution now, secret research in medicine, using people and their tissues, their excretions, without their permission. Political institutions have definitely practiced obscurantism. Most people were not aware of the fact that it is only the Electoral College that ultimately elects executive candidates, not the votes of the people in general. That is a big obscurity that had not been taught so that people could understand what did the Electoral College really do. It was not understood, and now we have an example of that, where we have a president that was only through the Electoral College votes that they were able to take the seat of the President of the United States, Inc. Never before. It was known, but it did not override the vote, the decision of the people. So therefore, information oppressed, obscure. The financial system, oh my goodness, how many people really recognize that the present currency that we use had been backed by oil, not by precious metals as we had thought about in the past long ago. Silver was our last precious metal that backed our currency. That faded away in the 60s. So we've been exchanging goods and services, etc., on a piece of paper that really had no backing. But that was an obscure knowledge. It wasn't taught to the people. So with all of this information coming forward now, and it's much, much more to be revealed, we know now scientifically there's no such thing as race, is that everyone has the same DNA. However, the genes that are turned off and turned on in people specifically and groups of people culturally is quite unique. But it's everybody's got the same gene. Yours is on, mine is modulating, someone else's is fully active, and that causes the what we call phenotype to look different and to express itself and to adapt to the environment in very unique ways. But why was that unique expression of a very small aspect of the human genetic genome proliferated where the misinformation was spread to make us think that we were really different, that we had races instead of just one race, the human race? The human species, only one race with what? Vast variation. Another obscurity, even though the scientific facts have been known very long time ago. So how are we going to basically get over this condition of obscurantism? All of this information has not been given to us. And now it's upon us with the very earth under our feet shifting. And so I'm so excited about this because we have a wonderful solution. And each and every one of us can proceed through this self-treatment. So simple, so easy. It's not going to cost you anything except your willingness to align yourself with yourself. And this is one of the greatest issues that we have. It's a very incredible disorder known as cognitive dissonance. And this cognitive dissonance is where we reject and we refuse to accept others as being a reflection of ourselves. And it's come to a point now where we can enslave our children. We can see that the children have a head, a torso, upper and lower extremities. We know that they're human, but you can treat them in an extremely different manner, that they can be turned into slaves for all different type reasons. That is a mental and emotional disorder known as cognitive dissonance. Look it up. How often is that word spoken amongst us in society, even though we know that we have human trafficking? How can that be if a person is healthy? It only happens when a person is not able to recognize themselves in someone else, expressing the same geometry. One head, two upper extremities, a torso, two lower extremities, the same geometry. And you're still not capable of treating that human being like yourself? It is a disconnect in the neural net of the brain, which expresses itself as a separative or an isolating type of awareness. Mm. And this is the main issue that now has us in a state of extinction. Many, many people will lose their bodies if they do not unify again, first with themselves and then with the mirroring geometry of another human being. And so that's why so much medication. Can you imagine? Just put yourself in a position. Oh, here I am. I'm visiting Earth. How interesting. Oh, they have this monitor here and these people talking to me on it. And what are they saying? Oh, take this. This will alleviate your pain. Oh, cover this because this will cover these discolorments that you have. Oh, this you rub on you because this will make your skin pliable again. Oh, lay this on you because this will help to give you the support you need. So you sit there and you recognize, well, what is happening to the species? Continuous need for the application, the ingestion of something outside of themselves to be okay. Very weak species. Species here must be very weak, and what is going on? There's not much of anything that we see in the media that lets us know that we are the absolute most highly evolved life form on the planet, that we have limitless capabilities to create anything that we put our mind on. And the first thing we can do is that we can naturally heal ourselves. That is never, ever projected, as I'm witnessing, in your media and entertainment. You're constantly reminded that there's something wrong with you, there's something missing, or if you're having certain experiences, you need something from outside of yourself to resolve it. No other animal on this planet exists this way. Can you imagine if the elephants had TV? We can't perceive that they would have this kind of communication with themselves. They would not. Our squirrels, the rabbits, the horses, the birds, the worms, no other organism does this. But look at what they're able to do. Can you imagine the hummingbird, how many beats per second those wings are fluttering, how they're able to fly for thousands of miles, and they're appearing to be weak at all. They're much larger than we are. Their bodies are shaped different. We recognize that's a bird geometry shape as opposed to human, but look at what it can do.
Well, I don't I'm sorry to interrupt, but I don't think mm-hmm. most human beings even have a concept of what's possible for a human being, for the human species, and to understand what we can do individually to transform our bodies, our lives, our environment. And my feeling is that if we don't begin to get a clue on this, we're going to become extinct like those species you were talking about that are not going to be able to adapt to the transition that our planet and solar system are going through. And I know that
look how wise you are.
Yeah.
You're so wise, and that's why you have this show. And you do the great work you're doing because you're recognizing that new information has to be released to our species, through our species, so that we will hold our place on the planet and allow ourselves to use this planet appropriately, which was a place of cultivation and nurturing, so that we would begin to appreciate and know that we are a limitless, capable life form, and to begin to demonstrate such. Now, we're going to talk about some of the major problems that have happened because of this practice of obscurantism. And there are critical things, very simple, that we can do to open ourselves up to information. The solution as well as the support systems that are already in place that if we become aware of them and begin to focus on them, think on them, that we can make this transition one of the greatest experiences that each and every one of us as a human being will have this century. That's why I say this is an emergency. It's urgent that we have to begin to circulate this information, this knowledge that has been made obscure, so you can make a decision about you deciding to move forward and evolve in your own awareness and experience more of your limitless capabilities. This is what this is about. It's so important. We are limitless, and therefore there's no problem, there's no circumstance that we can create for ourselves, and we have, that we can't resolve. But there's some keys and knowledge that are missing, and we want to start the ball rolling with presenting these keys to you as well as the knowledge. And I'm just so excited about this, and I'm so grateful, and I'm so humbled to have the honor to support my species in being able to demonstrate to themselves their greatness and to then give back to our planet all that she's given to us, even though most of us have been ignorant, totally unenlightened about all the wonderful things that are contributed to us every moment of our existence by this planet. So for it to be, you know, reeking with toxins and paper and plastic and all kinds of chemicals, it's only because we have never, ever really understood that she is a bigger mirror of ourselves. So when we can finally begin to grow in consciousness and begin to appreciate all of the systems, all of the techniques that this planet uses to sustain itself, which are all incorporated in the DNA of the human, now we're going to really be doing some things. It's amazing. People don't even recognize that 56% of the DNA, the software programs encoded in the tissues of every plant on this planet, is also a part of our DNA. We're part plant. So there's nothing that the plants do that we can't do. But this is, again, information that has fallen under this obscurantism consciousness. And it's time now for you to have the information that is due to every human being so you can recognize what we've done in the past, where we are, and can use your fabulous imagination to create an incredible future for yourself.
And I want to remind people, we're speaking with Dr. Jewel Pookrum, presenting State of Emergency. What are you creating for your present future? And you can get more information. Go to www.juis.education, and you could also inquire by email support@juis.education, or you can call 888-659-4486. Again, that number is 888-659-4486. And we'll repeat this again at the end of this program.
Reception of this information that has remained in obscurity about ourselves as incredible beings, as humans, as well as the opportunity that's available to us to literally transform, and I'll give you a key word, metamorph, to metamorph into the next stage of who we are at this time in tremendous change. All we have to do is change with the change.
Yeah, that makes so much sense to me. And Dr. Pookrum, you have been out in the communities of the world, really, teaching people for a very long time about how to empower themselves through learning about health, natural healing, and their own body's natural ability to heal. And I'm wondering if you could speak a little bit more, giving context to what has been happening to people's bodies as a result of all these messaging and contradictory information and finding themselves living in stress and fear for decade after decade, and now having that added on stress of what people are referring to as climate change, but is really, as you said, part of a whole cosmic timing shifting, that people may be more familiar with something like this, say if they were to look at some of the more ancient calendars, and they'll tell you that there are certain ages in which things change in terms of our entire existence. And I believe that these shifts that are being looked at by the ancient Egyptians or the ancient Dogon people or the ancient Mayan Aztec people are the very cosmic changes that have caused the shift that we look at and call evolution. It's not some micro thing happening. These are things that happen, I believe, as a result of major changes in cosmic rays, shifts within the earth, and they're fast. And this is why we need to get up to speed real fast.
Exactly. And what's so wonderful, and thank you so much for the opportunity to talk about what I carry in my bandwagon, okay, that I'm so excited about. My colleagues are slowly catching up, okay, we as doctors and healthcare providers. But the truth of the matter is, shouting this out of obscurantism is the fact that human tissue is immortal. And so, yes, people heard about Henrietta Lacks, et cetera, but human tissue has been known to be immortal since 1912. Nobel Prize, a French physician, Nobel Prize winner in 1912, proved such. And it was from his work and research that we now have a clear, exact science known as cadaver transplant medicine. Now, I want you to think about that. How do you take human tissue from a deceased cadaver and put it into someone that is ill? Transfer it into someone who is ill, and it works. How could that tissue have ever been dead? Even in a sick environment, it begins to reactivate itself and function. So the obscurantism about what is death, is there really such a phenomena, has been repressed from the consciousness of humanity. And because we have this limitless capability of our own tissues. I remember in training that in the 50s and 60s, patients weren't ever told about the degree of disease that they had. Many of the diseases, especially cancer, the patient was never told. They were just medicated and supported until supposedly the body was no longer capable of holding on to its life force. Now we know that that's totally inappropriate because mind is always controlling matter. So we have so many people now who have been able to live 20 and 30 years beyond their expected date of survival and beyond, totally cured when this disease had been labeled as incurable. Why? Because the mind of the individual always is determining the quality and the capability of the software programs giving proper information to the behavior of tissue. So if you don't have the information, you don't know who you are, how can you navigate this intricate, incredible temple known as the physical body? And this has been part of our problem. So that's why this obscurantism has been very, very dramatic. And we're seeing the results of it. And information cannot be repressed any longer. This is what we're doing. So first of all, get comfortable with the fact that you can be here as long as you would like. Now, why do we have an individual, as an example, that buys a new car and it only works for them for 5 years? And then we can go to the museum and we can see the same model of car, but that car is 80 years old and looks brand new. Came off the same assembly line. We code everything now, so we know it came out of the same lot, serial number. But why two different experiences? Just like we've learned with twins. Put a twin in one environment and the exact genetically identical twin in another, you get two different people. And it is based on what now we are accepting as epigenetics. It also is commonly known as nurture. So that's been the challenge here. Nature over nurture. And we know that we can take something that appears to be quite feeble and limited, but by proper, persistent nurturing, which is what? Imbuing that organism with information and life force energy, transforms into being an incredible, limitless being. And this is what humanity is suffering from now. We are not nurturing ourselves. We are not giving ourselves the information. We are not creating environments that allow us to experience and live this information. We are not creating an environment that stimulates us to think limitlessly, to think in alignment with the larger environment that supports us, planet Earth. I remember clearly Mad Men. That used to be a very interesting series, and they were showing how in the 50s, the ideal family goes to the park. They have their picnic basket and, you know, plates and flatware, and they have a big blanket, and they eat their meal, and then the plates are picked up, the picnic basket is repacked, and all of the napkins and all of the paper cups and all of the paper plates are left on the ground of the park. And that was so amazing to watch that being filmed, because here we are 40 years later recognizing that, you know, we recycle paper now, okay? We don't want to use plastic straws because of what they do to the fish. We're not going to leave this. But that was a standard at that time, because the consciousness of the individuals did not connect with the grass, with the park, et cetera. It's like, you know, it's wonderful to sit on it. We're through with it. And we go forward. And now we are finally having to deal with the fact that that park, the grass, the trees, that is an expression of who we are. And when we start really studying the function of a blade of grass, a tree, it goes through the same processes that many areas of the tissues in our body also simulate. So this obscurantism, where information is not being passed at the rate that it's being discovered, I will be showing you information of things that have been done almost 100 years ago that most people still think it would be a futuristic phenomena to witness this. No, this has been done over hundreds of years ago, and people still don't know these things. So when you recognize that your past is something that you don't even know that you've experienced, how are you going to adjust? That's frightening. That's the biggest frightening thing, and that's why we're there to help you, to let you see all these things that have been known but by a very small group of individuals. This information is part of the memory bank of every human being on this planet. It has to be for you to be able to evolve forward in your own personal growth and development. This creates what? And this is why this is so important, because when you have information about yourself, you also have a different blood quality. The teachings and the knowledge on blood is very, very minuscule for the average human being. To understand what blood is and what it does is critical for you to be able to sustain and experience the limitless capacity of a human body. Why don't you know this? But we're going to begin to introduce that information and where you can do further studies to know how sacred your blood is and how your thoughts empower it or literally destroy it. Mm. Who's telling you about your thoughts and the quality of your blood? Very few people, but it's a major factor. See, this is the obscurantism that must be nullified for you to be in full capability of what you're doing.
I so understand that. I hadn't even contemplated or thought about the connection of the blood and the thoughts. But of course, blood is the information. This is how our bodies are nourished and supplied. So it makes complete sense. And I do look forward to learning more about this. And one of the things that really strikes me is that not only is there little information, but we also are subject to a great deal of disinformation, where it's almost as if we are being programmed, we're being dumbed down in so many ways by the media, by the education system, to the point that we don't even really acknowledge or understand exactly what and who we are as beings in this world, in this cosmos, in this reality. And when you were talking about, is it nurture or nature, it struck me that in a way it's both. If we begin to regard ourselves as nature and then nurturing that aspect of ourselves, then we can make this transformation you're speaking of. But as long as we stay attached to the programs that are kind of, that we are bombarded by every day, we don't have much of a chance, really, because you're always struggling, your mind is always struggling against the forces of disinformation, the forces of feeling guilt, feeling angry, feeling fearful, all these things that we have to navigate in our lives every day. And maybe you can give some inkling of the tools that you're providing for people so that when they leave your workshop, they are able to really function in a different way.
Well, one of the first tools we are going to share is revisiting the past. Now, I'm a scientist, and so I have assigned myself the responsibility to my species to share as much information as possible about the obscurantism that has happened in the field of science. The technology that we have been able to mimic and recreate from the template of the human body is incredible. Now, please listen to my words. The template of the human body. There is no template of life greater, more elaborate, and more limitless than the architecture and the function, the structure, and the design of the human body. But now, if that information has not been shared with you just by general conversation or by personal investigation, then of course your environment definitely does not reinforce or even mention that your body is the greatest thing that we know of. Beyond any tree, any bush, any flower, the technology, the architecture, the functionality of the human body is still far beyond our comprehension. So what has been discovered and the things that we are able to do, how we are externalizing ourselves, in the form of artificial intelligence, robots, okay, nanobots, etc. All of this is still very primitive copies of the template of the human body. So I'm very concerned about the fact that most humans are rejecting the exteriorization of themselves because they are totally disassociated from a computer, a laptop computer. One laptop computer with 500 gigs is equivalent to 1/4 of one neuron of your brain. We have somewhere between 80 billion to 100 billion neurons that form the collective of the brain, and one laptop is only 1/4 of one neuron. So when you hear individuals feel uncomfortable and feel as though they can't at all interact and master the use of and be comfortable with one laptop, which is just the communication between your awareness and 1/4 of your neurons, there's a huge schism there of lack of self-identity. So when people are now very concerned about Sophia, which is the first robot that has been given citizenship, think on this. A robot has been given citizenship in Saudi Arabia, full citizenship. And we have billions of people on this planet that are still struggling for a land-connected identity. How does a human do this? How are you so disconnected that a person who walks and talks and is just as animate as you are is not allowed to have a connection to a land base? Look at the example that's happening here in America. What's going on with Brexit and the European Union and the migrants that are there? That they're being denied connection to land, but we can then take an externalization, a template of ourselves, and give it full citizenship. So obviously, we are missing the proper use of the mind to do these things. That I can give a robot citizenship, but an individual that is exactly the same as I can give you my blood, I can take yours, etc., but I deny you a connection to a land base. This is a neurologic deficit. And so we also recognize that a lot of the disinformation that you've referenced is definitely associated with not supporting full brain function and integration. And so there are tools that can easily be applied in one's life every day that will reestablish neuronal growth, integration, and fusion so that these blind spots that we are tolerating in our lives will immediately be recognized, checked, and transformed. And we'll be talking about that. What's so exciting to me is the fact that because we are limitless, because we don't even know that we are still not adults yet. This is what's so amazing, that we're going to share with you what true adulthood is. Most of us have reached a level of development, and that level of development has become chronic and static. But it is not fully development of the human body with an accompanying fully developed nervous system, with accompanying fully develop knowledge base on how to operate the physical body. How can you be fully developed and accomplished when you don't have the owner's manual to the human body, when you do not have and understand the software program, when you do not have a nervous system that allows you as an energy field? See, we are conscious beings totally infused in mass known as the human body. And so we know that, you know, I'm listening, I'm hearing all these little comments. What do you think happens to a person where the body is on automatic, but the individual themselves are not able to process and activate through the mainframe computer of the body, known as the brain, and its peripheral nervous system, information, directives, so that the body moves on demand? The person is still very much alive. We are fields of energy, but the disconnect that has happened between that field of energy being able to stimulate and communicate through the brain, which is a chemical language system. The human body communicates between itself, its tissues, and its nervous system using chemistry. And when the connection between the mainframe computer and you as an energy field giving the dictates and the energy to the brain is hampered, then the body cannot execute your command. This is very important for you to understand and know. And how can you circumvent this kind of interruption in the alignment of who you are with your nervous system, with the tissues of your body, the organs of your body, and your performance in the outer world? Your owner's manual gives you this information. And this is what we've put together, myself and other doctors, at the Jewel University of Immortal Sciences. Now, I'm very honored that my first name happens to be Jewel, but let me share with you what Jewel is. It is an acronym that represents a state of consciousness that every human being will naturally resonate with and exhibit when they have the owner's manual and know how to employ it of the human body. J, justifiably. E, enchanted. W, with. E, enlightened. L, living. Justifiably enchanted with enlightened living. That is what Jewel represents, a state of consciousness that when you are fully empowered about who you are and the levels of functionality and energetics that you exhibit at all times and you're aware of it, you will definitely be justifiably enchanted with enlightened living. And therefore, the qualities of immortality and so many other higher neuronal capabilities will be easily accessible to you.
This interview was done a while back, but I felt that it was so relevant to what we're working with and going through right now in our world with the COVID-19 and with the uprising that we're seeing in the streets. There's a way in which we can think of these things as part and parcel to our evolutionary process. We didn't really know what this evolution would look like, and I would say even at this moment, we don't know what that evolution will result in. But I think that Dr. Jewel Pookrum's advice, in which she's telling us to begin to pay close attention to our own being, evolving our own mind capacity as not just the thoughts, but evolving the neuro capacity of our minds. And we can do this through our meditation practices, through certain kinds of music, and there are other technologies that we will be speaking of as we go forward with these considerations. But as we contemplate this, we also have to consider how toxic states of mind impact our health, impact our blood, as Dr. Pookrum says, and we are being called to pay really close attention to our own personal internal evolution and understand just how infectious it can be on rage and grief as it is coming up for all of us right now. So I want to encourage all of us to take a few moments to breathe through that grief, to breathe through that sense of dissatisfaction and disappointment and rage, because it's coming from more than just what we're encountering right now. We're looking at historic genetic anger and rage, disappointment, as well as a culturally derived sense of values and ideas that in the constant struggle to overcome are keeping us in some ways encapsulated in this energy of being less than. And so I want all of us to really think about moving away from some of these states of being and moving into an understanding of ourselves as cosmic beings with unlimited abilities and begin to cultivate that facet of our being. It's so important that we do that so that we don't find ourselves being drawn deeper down the well and drowning ourselves in these emotions and toxic thoughts. It's not about disavowing anyone's responsibility or ignoring the truth of our situation or our history, but it's about beginning to turn the page on how we are walking forward in our world and walking forward in our life so that we can focus on being grounded within the earth and connected to nature and understanding that we are in fact natural beings in this environment on this planet, but we're also of the cosmos. All of our makeup, our DNA comes from everywhere in the cosmos, and we have all this information within us, all the information of the planetary evolution from the beginning till now, we have in our DNA. And we can begin to reach deep inside of ourselves for some of the solutions that we need at this time so that we can be creative in our solution building, but also understand by the change of our vantage point and our state of mind that in itself energetically has implications for transformation and evolving ourselves into a being that is fully capable of handling all that we see going on around us. We do what we need to do, whatever that is. Maybe it's protest. Maybe it's staying home and being safe because we're vulnerable. Maybe it's getting online and educating. Maybe it's really taking the time to explore our family history and really come to the truth of who we are. But most significantly, it's going deep inside of ourselves so that we can discover our own facets of being and the many rivers that flow within us, connected to so many resources, both historical, cosmically, as well as through the spirit and into that realm of being that is far beyond the physical world, because we also exist as spirit, fully formed, conscious, aware, and able at all times. We only need from our physical bodies, from our current neurology and capacity of mind, to tap into those more expansive features of our being. And that's what we need in order to transform and heal our bodies, our mind, our spirit, our soul. We have to carry that intent as equally important, perhaps more important than the work that we're doing in the world, because the work that we're doing in the world is going to reflect our state of mind. So I am happy that you were able to hear this program and share this interview with Dr. Jewel Pookrum, and I invite you to respond through email heartofmindradio@gmail.com. Give me ideas, ask questions, or perhaps you want to be a part of this forum yourself. The idea is to expand this conversation and expand our connection in full realization that we are all interdependent on this planet with each other, with the natural world, with the cosmos in which we swim, the whole planet swims, and what's going on at that level as well. So thank you very much, and you've been listening to Heart of Mind Radio for the New Millennium, and this program can be heard over the Progressive Radio Network on Saturdays at 6 p.m. at prn.fm on the web. A different version, usually live, can be heard on WBAI in New York, 99.5 FM, WBAI.org on Fridays at 11 a.m. We have podcasts. You can find us on most of your favorite distribution sites, and we are looking to really expand this conversation through audio programs, video programs, live Zoom calls, and build a community of mutual support and one that allows for each of our talents. So please do stay tuned to Heart of Mind. I'm Catherine Davis.
Just a child, but I understand that love will mend our broken hearts, love will heal the land. Quand je ferme les yeux, je vois ce qui comme toi.